Praise God. Amen. Is there wickedness in your heart? What kind of business do you do? You cheat people? You blackmail people? You say things that are untrue? You bear false witnesses against your neighbor, against your brother, against your sister? You pick gossip and say all kinds of things against people without you having investigated. You are a carrier of rumors and gossips. You slander. Do you know that character assassination is worse than taking a gun and shooting somebody down? When you destroy somebody's character, that person is finished. When he is walking, they'll be saying, look at this one. Look at this one. You don't know that they have finished you. And this is what people do. This is what is people's stock in trade. This is what some people live on. And they will come here to pray. And they will be sharing with us trust in the Lord. No, you have to do something else before you trust in the Lord. Praise God. So some of us will be repenting tonight first. And have a determination, a desire to do what? To be a child of God first. To be acceptable to God first. Before you can bring your faith and confidence to bear on God. Hallelujah. Amen. There are so much we can say about King David. No wonder the Bible said, David is a man after God's own heart. Praise God. Go home and read that scripture all through by yourself. Where we read 1 Samuel 30. How they went to do the recovery. Amen. After they went and recovered all. Now while on their way to recovery, after the Lord has used an Egyptian that was dropped by the wayside by the enemies to give him, David and his people, guide, they came to a river or a brook called Brook Besor. Out of the 600 men, there are about 200 men that were so weak, so feeble, so sick, and they could not continue with the pursuit. So they stayed back by the brook. Then the 400 men with David, they went and did the recovery and came back with the booties, the loot, the bounties of war. When they go back to the camp, some men said, King David, come on. Remember these 200 men that dropped on the wayside? They were not strong enough to follow us to go to the battle to recover our children and wives and other things. Please, what we have gathered, because when they got there, the Lord gave them victory. Those enemies, they fled and left goodies, materials, food, in quantum. So David and his men, they recovered a lot. There was so much to share that would go around and remain. It was celebration galore. So some of the men suggested to David, please, these people that did not follow us all the way, they will not partake of the sharing, though, because they didn't join us to do the battle. He said, but we can hand their wives and their children over to them. But for the rice and beans and the gari and the semovita and all the camels that we brought, they should not come near. That is the man's thinking. That is the natural man. But the spirit of Christ in David said, no, 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 no. Hallelujah! David said, this is a day of victory. This is a day of celebration. This is the day of the Lord. It is not your strength that gave us the victory. It was the Lord that gave us the victory. And if it is the Lord that gave us the victory, then it is the Lord that gave us the booties of war. It's the Lord that gave us the bags of rice and beans and semovita and the rest of them. Therefore, if it came from the Lord, let it go around everybody. Hallelujah! And that was how it was. And the Bible says it became a law, a statute in Israel. Whenever the men of war went to battle, whatever is gotten from the battle is shared equally among all. Brethren, is that not how Christianity should be? Huh? Is that not how Christianity should be? And why are you fighting your brother? Why are you fighting your sister? Why are you angry when God blesses your neighbor? Why are you angry when God places your brother, your sister, in a position? When God makes him an HOD, when God makes her a leader in the women fellowship, when God makes her this one thing or the other, when God blesses her with singing ability, and you begin to envy and jealous and say all kinds of things to bring such a person down, and you are here to pray with us, trusting in the Lord. No, you have to repent first. Hallelujah, somebody. Moses prayed and told God, please take some of my spirit now and give to some of these elders so that they can help me in this work. After his father gave him counsel, Jethro, he said it's true. And David appointed 70 elders. And the Bible says God took some of the spirit in Moses and caused it to rest upon the 70. And the work of God was going on smoothly. And Moses had less burden. When the Lord raises another gift in our midst, is it not to lessen the burden on you that is also gifted? You cannot attend to everybody now. Cases is plenty, plenty. People are dying. People are distressed. People are possessed. People need deliverance. People need solution. And God is giving gifts to facilitate the freedom of the people. And God raises another gift to complement your own, and you're angry. You're a serpent seed. That's what it means. Praise God. You're a serpent seed. Why will I be angry when my brother preaches better than me? You can't take my place, I can't take your place. Praise God. You can never preach the way I preach. I can never preach the way you preach. So why are you angry? Why are you disturbed? Praise God. We're talking of trusting in the Lord. Look inward first and clean yourself up. Amen. And we have forgotten that. Apostle Paul said, if it is in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. Brethren, there is heaven to go. There is a heaven. Tell your neighbor, there is heaven to go. Ask him, do you know there is a heaven to go? Then ask him or her, why are you backbiting your brother, your sister? Why are you jealous of your brother and jealous of your sister? Hallelujah! David said, what we have collected in the battle, let it go around everybody. Why would you allow a gift you didn't do anything to give to that brother? You didn't do anything to give that sister. It came from God alone. And you're jealous and you're angry. Ah, brother, be careful. Sister, be careful. Hallelujah. Because if you stand in the way of that gift, and by implication, you hinder the purpose why God lifted that gift, God will hold you responsible. And the Bible says it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Hallelujah! Amen! We are running a race. We are at the end of time. And these mundane ephemeral things should not distract us. I preached a message some time ago, satanic distractions. All these things are satanic distractions. We should be able to live above these issues. Amen. Somebody shout hallelujah. So when you clean up, when you get rid of these things, then you will now have the liberty to trust in the Lord. You will now have the liberty, the access to have faith in God. Then your trust and your faith will now begin to count. While your faith, your prayers, your fastings have not been able to count, it's because you are not living the right kind of life. There is power in purity. Tell somebody there is power in purity. There is power in holiness. Hallelujah. The moment David fell, took somebody's wife, killed the man in battle, Uriah and the wife and so forth. I mean, something came on him and he forgot himself. When Prophet Nathan came to him and showed him his sin, what did he do? He fell down in ashes and sackcloth. That is the child of God for you. But not the spirit in Saul. When Saul was given assignment to kill the Amalekites, and he did what he did, left some of the fatlings and some of the calves and so forth. When Samuel came to ask him, "Have you carried out God's assignment?" He said, "Yes, I've done what the Lord said I should do." Samuel brought it home. He said, "But I'm hearing the bleating, the crying of sheep and cows behind the yard at the courthouse. What are those ones?" Instead of Saul to come to him and say, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have brought it. He said, the people prevailed on me to bring it so we can give God a befitting sacrifice and so forth. He was excusing. When Saul was asked to wait for 7 days at a point, because Samuel was to come to do a sacrifice. Praise God. On the 7th day, on the evening of the 7th day, Saul took it upon himself to do the sacrifice himself. When you're not a priest. He didn't even allow the 7th day to expire. It was yet the evening of the 7th. And immediately he finishes that disobedience, Samuel appeared. Told him his sin. Instead of him to accept and begin to apologize and begin to ask for mercy, he began to excuse. I've been waiting for 7 days now. And the people, the armies of the Lord are in the wilderness, and the enemy is about to overtake everybody. And I've been waiting for you to come and do this. And I didn't see you. That was why Saul died the way he did, with his 3 sons in 1 day. Because he was not a man that was yielded to God. Praise God. If you are yielded to God, you'll be very careful, very meticulous about God's principles. You'll be meticulous when we preach to you that baptism is in the name of Jesus Christ, not Father, Son, Holy Ghost. You'll be careful to correct it. You'll be meticulous when we give you counsel scripturally that there is only one God, 3 offices, many attributes. You'll be careful to believe it and study it. When we tell you here that women do not have pulpit ministry, you will go to the scriptures and search out and do confirmations. And such other things. If we tell you that the Antichrist is going to be a religious man from a big religious organization, and sometimes we call the name of that big religious organization and their leader, you don't begin to argue and quarrel. Go and search scriptures. Go and take record, history. Compare them. That's what a child of God ought to do. Praise God. In Acts of the Apostles, somewhere, Berean brethren, the Bible says they were more what? More ready to learn than the brethren in Thessalonica. Why? Because they searched the scriptures daily to know whether what Paul was preaching to them was true. Why not go and do study and know whether what we're telling you is the truth? Instead of we come to vision here, you argue, and you just, now their prayer I want. I don't want their doctrine. If it is only our prayer and our gifts you want, you will die and go to hell. Praise God. Because all those signs, all those prophecies, all those prayers, all these gifts that you see operate here, they are just a sign. They are an attraction to bring you so that we can give you the word that will cause you to go to heaven. If you take the healing, the prophecy, and reject the main thing, it's like taking the chaff and leaving the substance. Will that do you well? So, brother, sister, please take our teachings seriously. Jesus is coming soon. We are already far into the first stage of the rapture. We are waiting for the second stage that will soon ignite. It may be so seamless, you don't know when it happens. The voice of the archangel, the shout, we are very well into the end of the shout. And then the voice of the archangel will sound. Praise God. And that will gather the bride, whatever they are. Are you in that number? Or are you just coming for prayers? Praise God. Don't be like those congregation in John chapter 6. When Jesus fed thousands of people. The men alone were 5,000 in number. So if the men alone were 5,000, then that means women and children will make at least another 10,000 plus 5, making 15,000. But after that great feast, and Jesus began to preach the word, do you know that they all disappeared? Please don't be among such congregation. Until it remained only the 70. Is it 70 or 12? I think 70. Jesus began to ask, won't you also go? Well, I think it's only the 12. Only the 12. He said, won't you also go? There was a man that had revelation of who he was with, who was talking to him. And that was Peter. He said, to whom shall we go, Lord? You are the one that has the words of eternal life. Not the words of prophecy for healing, for deliverance, for breakthrough. They are all fine. Because Jesus there gave them breakthrough where he fed 15,000 souls. It was a breakthrough now. They were hungry. He satisfied their thirst, their desire, their hunger. Is that not true? But that is on the material side. And Jesus was looking beyond the material side. And here we are exposing you to that pattern. Because heaven and earth shall pass away. But the truth we are reflecting here from the scriptures, every one of them shall be fulfilled. And it will pay you to come into that truth. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. So we see this character of David. It's a character that is very worthy of emulation. It's a character that we must follow, we must copy, we must emulate. And that's the spirit in Christ. Let the same spirit that was in Christ be in every one of us. Praise God. When he was revived, when they accused him of anything, he didn't talk. When they blindfolded him and was spanking him and so forth, prophesy. If you're a prophet, son of God, prophesy. Tell us who spanked you. Now was their maker in the flesh. Praise God. Did he revive back? He didn't. Because there is a purpose for that mockery that was going on him. So he took it gladly. Child of God, when they accuse you of what you have not done, don't be on edge. Don't begin to raise hell and everything. Take it to God in prayer. Tell the Lord, Lord, you know I didn't do this. Lord, you know it's not true. Let the effect of their gossip and blackmail not come on me. That should be your prayer point. That's your prayer point. Amen. Do you understand? That should be your prayer point. And who is it that say it and it come to pass? When God has not said so. So leave the gossiper, leave the blackmailer. God will deal with such people and such situations. But make sure you don't fight back. Make sure you don't revile back. Oh, make sure you don't begin to imagine things against anybody. Praise God. Vengeance is the Lord's. He will vindicate the righteous. Don't worry. When God fights your battle, He will fight it to the fullest. The way you want to fight your battle yourself, which strength you get, self? Where will you get to? The forces are myriad. There are many. So the better, the sooner you hand over those battles to God, the better for you. How do you do it? Righteous living and prayerful lifestyle. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. When Jesus was ministering, He knew that Satan was after Him. He knew that the devil wanted to cut the ministry short before he got to the peak. That was why after the 40 days fasting and prayer, He said, "If thou be the Son of God, turn these stones to become bread." Because He knew that Jesus was hungry. So He thought Jesus was a glutton, that He would get Him through eating and drinking. And the rest of them, then when He didn't succeed, "If thou be the Son of God, the kingdoms of this world are given to me. And whoever I will is the person I want to give it to. All you need to do is just bow down and worship me. You will have it." Of course, that was why Jesus came, to collect back the kingdom from Satan. But not through compromise. Not through bowing to Satan. It's the way of the cross. The rugged way. You are called to be a Christian to inherit eternal life. You can't get there through compromise. It has to be through the cross, the rugged way. But there is always grace for every situation, for every circumstance. If Jesus prevailed and succeeded, if Jesus is in you, you will prevail. You will succeed. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah, somebody. They say, "If thou be the Son of God, fall down." He took him to the pinnacle. You know, the high mountain. He said, "Fall down from there." He quoted scripture for Jesus. "It is written, God has given the angels charge. And even while you are falling halfway, the angels are there on the ground to receive you. You will not dash your feet against a stone." That's what was written. But the devil is misinterpreting and misrepresenting scriptures. But Jesus knew better than that. Hallelujah. That's why when they begin to misconstrue, misinterpret the scriptures for you, that you are giving the wealth of the Gentiles to possess, then you begin to go into shady businesses. You begin to go into drug business. Say, the Bible says you are to possess the wealth of the Gentiles. You're on your own. You are turning scriptures upside down. You are causing jaundice in the scriptures. Praise God. The wealth of the Gentiles will come to you through righteousness. Praise God. We have one billionaire that we know that believes this message. And by the testimony we see around him, he's not a compromiser. But he's a billionaire. The much we know, he's a billionaire. Praise God. He's careful to run his businesses in tune with scriptural dictates. So, you can be the son. Abraham was a man of great wealth. He didn't cut corners to be wealthy. Is that correct? Solomon was wealthy,
God gave him the wealth. So God is still giving wealth to Christians. If you can be patient to have it God's way and at God's own timing. Somebody shout hallelujah. When all these things are in place in your life, and then you begin to apply trust and faith and confidence in the Lord tonight, you won't have to pray long before your prayers will be answered. I said you won't repeat this vigil, but you will go back and receive the answers. You will go home and see the manifestation to your prayers. Somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. In John chapter 14 verse 30, Jesus said, the prince of this world cometh and has nothing in me. My. Praise God. Can you as a Christian say you don't have any devil's property? Physically or spiritually? That's the only way the Holy Ghost can flow freely in your life. To do the works. Jesus said, the devil is coming after me, but he cannot pin anything. There's nothing he can point at that I am guilty of, that he can accuse me of. That's the testimony of a Christian. Hallelujah. And when you are still a fornicator, when you're still an adulterer, when you're still a drunkard, when you're still a thief, when you're still a liar, when you still do shady businesses, when you still fight and quarrel and curse, when you still blackmail your brother, your sister, your neighbor, when you're still thinking evil against the next person, when you're taking people's names for evil to prayer mountains, when you even take people, no, so this time it's not even prayer mountains again, they go to juju houses. It is happening. And we thought that such things should not be mentioned among the saints. It's supposed to belong to the denominations. But it's a mixed multitude. And we are seeing things, we are hearing, that's what we are preaching. When you're still doing things like that, one of these days, the Bible says, judgment will start in the house of God. I said, judgment will start in the house of God. Praise God. But when we are sounding this warning by the leadership of the Holy Ghost, it is for the seed of God to take inventory, take instruction, and do what? And repent. Praise God. Because he's a merciful God. He gives people very long rope. Peradventure, there will be repentance. Because he says he is not willing that any should perish. He doesn't desire the death of a sinner. But the sinner should repent. But are you willing to repent, child of God? You are a child, supposed to be a child of God. Why are you here tonight? Just to receive breakthrough, deliverance, prayers, solution to issues and situations? The greatest of all deliverance you will ever get is the deliverance for your soul. Somebody shout hallelujah. David was already a son of God. His soul was already with God. So that was why he was able to meet up with God's requirements at every issue and circumstance. If you are not a child of God through repentance and baptism in the name of Jesus Christ by immersion, receiving the Holy Ghost to walk in this pathway of righteousness, if you have not gotten to that level, what we are saying will be difficult for you to apply. But when you apply these first principles, repentance, baptism, in the name of Jesus, ready to follow all through, to live the right type of life, then you will be like an airplane that has gone through the clouds and the winds and has gotten far, far above the sky. And the pilot drops the control at auto. When he drops it at auto, the plane will be flying automatically. That is when the pilot can leave the cockpit and be walking through the aisle and conversing with the passengers. Because it has gone through the turbulence, through the wind, through the clouds and so forth, and has gone several thousands of feet above the sea level. Especially when it is going on international flights. He has stabilized. He can leave it to go on. So when you receive the Holy Ghost, it will become easier to sell this Christian race. Somebody shout hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 15:34, it says, awake to righteousness. 1 Corinthians 15:34, let's read it. 1 Corinthians 15:34. It says, awake to righteousness. And do what? Sin not. Tell your neighbor, sin not. Can you tell your neighbor, sin not? For some have not the knowledge of God. He said, I speak this to your shame. Some don't have the knowledge of God. But it is rather shameful. When you have done all these things, and you are ready to trust God, even when a situation where you have lost hope, even where you have met a hopeless situation, like some of us, there was a man that has met with Jesus, with the rest of the apostles. Jesus had gone through the temptations, gone through the cross, gone through the grave. He came up in resurrection, and he was showing himself to his disciples variously. And after he had shown himself to the disciples at one instance, Thomas was not there. And for the sake of Thomas, Jesus had to repeat his visit. He said, Thomas, put your hands at the nail prints and so forth at my side. He said, don't doubt, but be believing. And after all that, that was about 3 or 4 appearances. Jesus disappeared again. And when he disappeared again, in John chapter 21, Brother Peter, the leader of the apostles, in his mind, he was just saying, we thought that this man has come back from the grave to stay with us. He would appear and disappear and appear and disappear. When will this one end? I beg, let me go back to my profession, Joe. Praise God. That's a paraphrase I see in Peter's mind. He was hopeless. He lost hope. And in that hopeless situation, he went to fish. And when he went to fish, the situation got worse because he caught nothing. John 21, let us read. John chapter 21 from verse 5. Hallelujah. From verse 1, rather. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee and 2 other disciples. Simon Peter said unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. Very sad. Verse 4. When the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. Somebody, Jesus is standing here tonight. He said, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. That is the state of despair and despondency that they had got into. Until the master appeared on the scene of their situation, they couldn't recognize him. But the situation was so bad. In fact, at times it gets so bad that even when help comes to you, you won't even realize the help has come. Praise God. We saw it in the scriptures now. When Peter was locked in prison, the disciples were praying for Peter's release. You remember? While the saints were praying, the angels went to prison and the prison doors, the chains of Peter's hand fell off. Peter said, is this true? Then he rose. He said, if it is true, now let me... He came to the gate. The Bible said the gate opened
on his own account.
So Peter went back to the house where the apostles were. And when he got there, he was knocking. He was knocking. One damsel, Rhoda, she ran to go to see who was knocking. When she got there, it was Peter. She ran back to the bread and praying. I said, Peter is out of prison, you know. He's the one knocking at the door. What did they answer her? You are Bible students now. Huh? He said, "Na spirit you see, no be Peter. Na angel you see, no be Peter. Peter, they prison now." He said, "You see, I forget." Meanwhile, they were praying for Peter's release. So they were not believing in their prayers. They were overwhelmed by the kind of immediate and miraculous answer God could give. I said, the answer to your prayers will overwhelm you. It will be shocking to you. Somebody shout hallelujah. Psalm 126 verse 1 says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. I don't care how bad your situation has been. I don't care how old you are, daughter of God, you say you've not gotten a husband. Don't bother. He said, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, where he brought them to liberty and freedom, we were like they that dream. It's like dream. Then said they among the heathen, the unbelievers will testify concerning your liberty and freedom. They will testify concerning your upliftment. What will they say? Then said they among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for us. Hallelujah! They will come to celebrate with you for your child dedication. You that is expecting the fruit of the womb, your neighbors, your enemies will come to dedicate your child. Will rejoice at your child dedication. In the name of Jesus! You that is 30, 35, 40 and you're worried, we will come to celebrate your marriage. The appointed time has come. And the Lord will show himself mighty in your life. The job you are applying for all this while, struggling. If the Lord remembered Ikechukwu, he was looking for job. Every pastor, minister, prophet praying for him. The situations around him, what we were seeing, ancestral spirit, this one, uncle, and so forth. At the appointed time, God took over and silenced those forces and gave him a job in a bank. Not minding all his, whatever the people may say that he's not qualified. God overlooked every other thing and gave him a job. He will give it to any one of you that is trusting God with all his heart. Somebody shout hallelujah. Your ministry that has been in coma, tonight an anointing will resurrect it. Your gift shall rise again. Your grace shall rise again. In the mighty name of Jesus. Where you have gone before and the door was locked, you will go after tonight's meeting, the door will open. I said the door will open. The God that opened the prison doors for Paul and Silas and Peter, he will open same for you tonight. If you believe it, shout hallelujah. All those mammy water spirits, ancestral spirit, tonight they will be caged. I said tonight they will be caged. And they will be cast out of your life in the name of Jesus. Somebody shout hallelujah. But if you have anything that is troubling you in your mind, with this thing cause my prayer not to be answered, with something you are worried, you are asking God to forgive you, please come to the altar now and make it right. Or you want a closer walk with God, and you want the God of David, the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, to be your God tonight. then you have to be found in the same fashion spiritually, like David, like Shadrach, like Meshach, like Abednego. Your heart must be clear. The Holy Ghost must find access and freedom to move in your life. Whatever it is, come to the altar. The Lord will meet with you. You will never remain the same. You will not come to this prayer and go back the same. Laye, you will not go back the same. Touch me one more time, oh Lord.
Touch me one more time, oh Lord.
Come to the altar is open.
I need a touch from the Master.
He will touch you.
I need a touch from the Lord. Touch me one more time, oh Lord.
Oh yes, Lord. Lord to touch you. Tell the Lord to touch you.
Lord, touch me, Jesus.
Touch me, Lord.
He is walking here tonight to touch somebody. You have lived a rough life. You have compromised in one way or the other. You feel guilty. You feel condemned. Come to the altar. The Lord will renew you. The Lord will restore you. The Lord will rearrange you and repackage you. Your sins and your iniquities, you will remember no more. Oh my God. Oh my God.
Touch me one more time.
Those of you on the altar, begin to pray. Tell the Lord to touch you. Call on Him for repentance. He will see you too.
Touch me.
I need a touch from the Lord.
Oh, Lord.
Touch me one more time. Oh, Lord.
Talk to God in prayer. He will touch you tonight.
I surrender.
And begin to pray for them. The ministers, please surround them. The Lord will visit them this morning and restore their lives.
Pray.
I surrender. All to Thee, my
Christ's name we pray. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Yes, when a man or a woman changes seat, move out of the crowd and come to the altar, that's a serious business and a serious decision. May the Lord receive you and receive your prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. May the Lord change whatever needed to be changed in your life for you to move forward in the name of Jesus Christ. That from today, when you open up your mouth and look up to heaven, the heaven will answer you in the name of Jesus Christ. Dependable God. Father, whether it is besetting sin, weaknesses, oh God, in the nature and inheritance from the lineage, Papa, that I'm winding backward the hand of the clock of their spiritual advancement. Today, Papa, let the power be broken in the name of Jesus Christ. Because they are step forward to this altar, Lord, let the bridge that connected to where they are coming from be broken in the name of Jesus Christ. And even if they want to go back, Papa, they will not have time to go back in the name of Jesus Christ. Today, whatever they were believing you for, Papa, because they are making a decision, oh God, give it to them in the name of Jesus Christ. Let them know that, Papa, today will be a turning point with a testimony in their hand in the name of Jesus Christ. Daddy, change their garment. Take away every filthy garment of accusation. Let the angel be able to deliver the packet tonight to them in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, everlasting God. In Jesus Christ's name we pray.